Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Several weeks ago, we all witnessed nationally school walkouts. They were over the issue of gun violence in schools and maybe guns in general. Those kids all consider themselves potential victims of high school and school gun violence. That's absolutely true. Less heralded are the recent walkouts from school over another issue of violence, one that is hidden in the clinic, and that is abortion, the millions upon millions of lives lost since the legalization of abortion in the United States. Those you don't hear about as much. Those, well, probably not going to get the principal of the school behind you on that one. He's going to not want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. Why is that? Joining us to talk about pro-life school walkouts, Pastor Todd Peppercorn. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why the Pro-Life School Walkout Left Me with More Questions Than Answers. Todd, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Why did you go to observe and join this protest from afar?
Well, it wasn't really that from that afar. I have two daughters that go to high school at Rockland High School, and that's kind of where this entire event began. And so this is kind of my neighborhood, really. And if my girls are going to be there and are going to be participating in it, it seemed like the least that I could do is show up and at least be a part of the adults that were kind of watching from the outside of the school to see what would happen.
This school walkout was a eye-opening experience for you. How so?
Well, I mean, just to give a little bit of context, a month ago or so, we had the walkouts that took place really all over the country in connection with gun violence and as a response to the shooting in Florida. At that time, one of the teachers at the high school here raised the question of what does it mean to have a walkout, which, you know, is against school policy. What does it mean to have a walkout, to leave classrooms and go to do something else when class is in session, and to have that sort of administratively sponsored, if not sponsored, certainly tolerated and even encouraged? So, you know, teachers are urging kids to consider it, and, you know, it's kind of all over the news. It's all over everywhere. And so the teacher asked, what does that mean for it to be administratively supported from a perspective of free speech? And then the backup question was, so what would happen if there was a walkout that was not something the administration would want to support? One of the young men at the school named Brandon Gillespie decided that he would kind of test that theory and planned a walkout in memory of all of the children that have been murdered by abortion since the shooting that took place in Florida. That kind of got an initial amount of kind of traction and attracted the news a little bit. The teacher, by the way, that raised those initial questions was put on administrative leave for a few days, was then back in the classroom. So for this past Wednesday, April 11th, there was this plan put in place, and it looked like maybe even a couple hundred schools were going to participate in this, or people at these schools, including Brandon's school, which is Rockland High School. And not surprisingly, the administration of the school is not in favor of this and tried to convince him not to do it. And he went ahead and did it, and they decided to allow it, but they didn't publicize it. There was no, you know, teachers didn't really talk about it. There was no, you know, it was kind of a non-topic on campus, so that come Wednesday morning, most of the students on campus didn't even know something was happening. And then you get there, and so I would say my daughters tell me that maybe 30 students did this walkout, and there were about 30 or so adults that were kind of watching from right off of the campus grounds, and I was in with that group. So we couldn't see or interact with any of the kids as they were doing it. They were still like in the quad at the school. But it was strange for kind of a lot of reasons. And I published this article in the Federalist this morning. Some of those questions I think are worth our talking about a little bit. And number one was, is this using the very serious topic of abortion as kind of a political football or a test case for free speech? And is that an appropriate use of such a grave subject? And that was kind of my first question. That was really, I'm not going to speak for my daughters, but I think it would be fair to say that was kind of the question, is whether or not participating in this was actually going to do any good, and what was the purpose of it?
So do you have a beginning of an answer to that question, whether or not it's appropriate to test the First Amendment with something like the defense of the unborn?
Well, this is how I came down to it, and this is kind of how I approached it with my own family and our kind of family conversation about it, was that I do believe that this is a matter of conscience, and that my girls are perfectly capable of making their own decisions about this, and I don't believe that this was you would be sinning if you did this or did that. I firmly believe this is a matter of Christian freedom. The fact of the matter is that abortion is one of the great unspoken topics that is always present in public schools and is kind of handled in very obtuse ways in health classes and in all sorts of subjects. And so it's very difficult for a Christian or anyone that's opposed to abortion to have a voice in a context like that. And so for me, ultimately, I think that while it wasn't ideal in terms of a venue for it, I felt like it was still important enough that it was worth doing, and it was an opportunity to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Was it perfect? Nope. But that made it worthwhile. That was my answer to that. I can see an argument against it, but ultimately I think that if this is a way of raising conversation and maybe having some dialogue with fellow students about it, then that was worthwhile.
So how do you, given what you've just said there about it, the cloud of abortion that kind of hangs over high school education, how do you encourage your high school age kids to discuss, or if to discuss at all, with their fellow students?
That is that's a great question, Todd, and a hard one, because, you know, it's not like this is something that comes up in casual conversation. And like with so many other things, in order to be able to have conversations like that are going to be meaningful, that can actually mean you're dialoguing, there has to be trust built. If you simply take a stance and you're gonna kind of lob your stance over to other people, it's just gonna create antagonism without any actual benefit. So before you can have a conversation about abortion, you need to actually befriend people, and maybe even people that you don't agree with, because they're people and because you like them, because we're human. That has to be kind of our baseline for having conversations about these things. And then those kind of conversations are going to happen organically and not programmatically. That's kind of, this is thinking of the scripture verse from Peter of always be ready to give an answer to the hope that is within you, and to be prepared, but not to be so impatient and feeling like I have to beat people up with this, because that's ultimately not going to be all that helpful.
We're talking about pro-life school walkouts. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest when we come back. He asks the question, how do we show mercy and love when free speech and the exchange of ideas is suppressed?
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the Book of Proverbs.
Learn more about demystifying the Proverbs 31 woman at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. IssuesETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about pro-life school walkouts. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why the Pro-Life School Walkout Left Me with More Questions Than Answers. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and in the culture at large. You can find out more at lcms.org/life, advocating for the unborn, weak, and vulnerable life ministry, lcms.org/life. Pastor Peppercorn, another question that you ask after having witnessed the pro-life school walkout is, how do we show love and mercy in society when perhaps our free speech, the free exchange of ideas, is suppressed?
Well, I think that that's the real challenge with an issue like this is that, one, you have the gravity of a question like abortion, and the gravity of dealing with gun violence, which is no small conversation either. And as a culture, as a society, we somehow have to get it into our heads, I believe, that you can't only have free speech with people that you agree with, because that's not actually free speech. And so we have to kind of think through what are the consequences of that? What's the context of that? Because so this protest or this walkout is about life and abortion. How about if the next one's a protest against some anime character that just came out on Netflix? At what point does free speech no longer become free speech, and we're simply creating utter chaos and anarchy in schools? I do think that's a pretty big question, and it's going to be a hard one, because once administrations start to determine this is a free speech topic we're going to allow, and this is a free speech topic we're not going to allow, then we've lost the entire premise in the first place. But that is the challenge. And I remember last year at the Making the Case conference that Terry Mattingly brought up, I thought very well, this notion that we are losing our capacity as a culture to dialogue with people with whom we disagree, that we're creating our own little silos, our own little cliques and entities of people that we like, that agree with us, and that allows us to essentially vilify any other groups that are the other. And as the church, this is kind of my perspective, as the church, our role is to go into those silos, to go into these places where there are going to be radically different views, and to bring the gospel into those places and to not be afraid. Now, that's the role of our church. But here's the kicker for this, or part of this that I think is worth talking about, is at what point do we expect our children to do that? And in what context? What is actually going to be reasonable and helpful for my high school age girls? What about for my 10-year-old daughter? How do I, as a Christian father, as a Christian family, determine when are my children kind of a part of that fray, and when am I teaching them the way they should go? That, I think, is a conversation we've got to wrestle with.
Just as a matter of real perspective here, Todd, if you stop and think about it, I'm sure you were thinking these thoughts as well. Gun violence is one of those things that people find solidarity in, especially those students, because they feel like they're all potential victims of that.
Right.
And that is absolutely true. I take nothing away from that. But these kids, every single last one of them, were also potential victims of abortion. They may not know it, but they were. They've been living their entire lives where their parents could have snuffed out their existence before they ever got to draw their first breath. And I wonder if there's a way, gently, carefully, and as you just said, in the proper context, to drive that point home, where if there were a pro-life walkout for schools, every kid would be out of school and in the quad.
Right. Well, and I do think that dot was connected, but and that point was made. But what was different from my observation about this as compared to the gun violence walkout from a month ago was that this movement truly was student-led. And I do not mean this to disparage students at all. It was disorganized. There were, you know, some people knew about it, other people didn't know about it. Nobody quite knew what was supposed to happen next. Even the people that were outside kind of looking in, like myself and others, we didn't know what was going on, and there was no place we could go to find out. So that was all truly student-led. The previous one was, while I think students started, it was, from my observation at least, deeply connected to the infrastructure of the schools themselves. And so that's a very different picture. And I don't mean to think of that as different, but how do we as Christians kind of connect those dots, and how do we create space where we can have those conversations? I think that's the great challenge there is, I want to be able to have a conversation with people that want to talk about solutions to gun violence, but I want to have that conversation where we can talk about the fact that as long as our society persistently does violence every single day to the most helpless among us, then we should never be surprised when that violence is going to come out in other ways, because we've basically become callous toward that violence that happens all the time.
Finally, what was your daughter's reaction to the protest?
I think that they were nervous. but that they were excited at the opportunity of being able to confess what they believe. And I think that there's something to be learned there, is that I want my own children to be ready to confess what they believe, and not simply to say that something is wrong, but that something is right, and that, and ultimately, as James puts it, that mercy triumphs over judgment, and that what we are about as a people is about forgiveness and care, and that those things don't contradict each other. So ultimately, it was a good and a learning experience for them, and I think that they're glad that they did it. And I don't know what's gonna come next from it, but I expect that things will continue to be stranger and stranger as we continue to go down this strange rabbit trail of America in the 21st century.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why the Pro-Life School Walkout Left Me with More Questions Than Answers. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at IssuesETC.org. Todd, thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Thursday, April the 12th, we're going to be talking about defending the unborn with millennials and the generation that followed, Generation Z. Scott Klusendorf will be our guest. Then Terry Matting will join us for the first part of a conversation with him, reflecting on trends in religion news on the 30th anniversary of his On Religion column. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.